Welcome to the Commercial Real Estate Investing from A to Z podcast, named one of the best commercial real estate podcasts by Business Insider. I'm your host, Steph Baldrini. We review all aspects of commercial real estate investing and bring the top people in the industry to share their best tips and lessons learned. And in today's episode, we are covering how to find, analyze, and convert small boutique hotels. We're also talking about what are some of the systems and tools used for managing boutique hotels. We are chatting with Blake Daly. He started with Airbnbs and now has 6 boutique hotels with 200 doors. Here we go. Blake, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm looking forward to this topic. First, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, Stephanie, happy to be here and thanks for having me. So my background, and we'll get into this a little bit, but like what I do is boutique hotels and started with residential Airbnbs and built up a portfolio of those. And then got to a point where I surpassed my W-2 income with my cash flow. I was like, oh man, I got to go bigger. Like I was setting my goals too small. And then got into commercial multifamily for a bit, syndicated an apartment complex and learned the commercial side, like how to underwrite deals and how to, you know, find and talk to investors and get them to invest in the deals, how to, you know, put together and run a commercial deal. And from there took a pivot point because like I knew Airbnbs and the short-term rental operations really well. And I knew the commercial side, combined those, and have been doing boutique hotels the last 3 years, have 6 of them now, 28 employees. Have operated in a couple of different markets across the country, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's very exciting. How long did it take you to get to your to surpass your W-2 after you started investing?
It was 13 months from purchasing my
first
property.
That's incredible. Yeah, congratulations.
Short-term rentals helped me get there faster, that's for sure.
They are a pretty good business, I must say. I agree with you. Let's chat about, you know, discovering a small boutique hotel. How do you find them? How do you analyze it? Because, you know, sometimes cities have issues with short-term rentals. How do you go about all of that, or even converting them if you do conversions and things like that?
Yeah, I think that's the beautiful part of them, because municipalities across the country are regulating short-term rentals left and right. New York, Dallas, Atlanta, you know, Southern California, all these big markets for real estate investors are getting shut down from short-term rentals. And that's basically for those municipalities to protect the single family house market and also the rental market. So to protect the residential neighborhoods that people live in. But because of hotels are zoned as commercial properties, they are like built to be rented as nightly rentals. So you don't face that same regulation, right? They're not coming in and shutting down Marriott's and Hilton's from being able to operate, right? The hotel lobbyists are too big for that. Yeah. So you're protected from that regulation, which is great. So you can actually get into these really good markets like metro areas or, you know, the suburbs of these metro areas and get really prime real estate. And how I go about finding them is finding these tired hospitality assets, right? That are owned by mom and pop operators that are often living on site and managing everything themselves. So you can, you know, just imagine the inefficiencies, right? When you live and work in your business every single day, a lot of them aren't adopting technology and they're not listing on the OTAs. They're not doing any marketing. Like how they're getting their guests is by word of mouth. And maybe they have a, you know, a direct booking site where people can go book, but are driving no marketing to it. So there's really easy ways to step into these properties, refresh them, renovate them, get them live on all the OTAs, like the online travel agencies, like Airbnb and booking.com and Expedia and hotels.com, and get really wide listing distribution. So people can find you wherever you're looking. And then you're collecting, you know, guest emails, contact information, start to push out your own marketing to where you get the first booking from the OTA, then you turn them into your guests and you have a wider proportion of direct bookings and get a lot more margin because you're not paying the 14 or 15%. So kind of a long way to say, I think, you know, the market that you look for these things in, I love destination markets, love ski towns, you know, beach towns. I started in Panama City Beach, see 17 million visitors a year coming for the world's most beautiful beaches, but there's markets all across the country that work for them. And we talked about the metro areas too. So you can really find them anywhere that short-term rentals work or that where people want to be and to go. And what I found a lot of success in is finding these older outdated properties with the owner operators and being able to bring the efficiency and updated design to really improve the ADRs. And because they're commercial properties, right, they're valued on the net operating incomes. You're boosting the value big time. So very, very much more robust than your typical short-term rental investing.
So in terms of, you know, this is a hands-on asset class, in my opinion. I have a couple of short-term rentals, but it's not as hands-on as, you know, I also have some car washes as a car wash. But, you know, it does take an incredible team to make these things work. And that,
absolutely,
you know, is the hardest thing, in my opinion, to get together. Talk to us a little bit about your systems, your process. How do you hire people? How do you make them grow within the company and things like that? So we can dive a little bit deeper into the nitty-gritty thing that is really important for investors.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. Like, it definitely takes a team to invest in this asset class. Like, I certainly couldn't run all my hotels if it was just me. But also experience like managing all my own short-term rentals when I was still doing the residential houses, and got to that capacity of what I could do myself pretty quickly with the 11 that we had at the time. So I was already starting to outsource the admin, was working on outsourcing the guest communications because I hated being, you know, at work and getting guest messages when I'm in a meeting. I'm like, oh crap, like this, the review depends on me replying to this in the next 5 minutes,
yeah,
right? Because guests are so needy. So now I think one of the coolest things about boutique hotels is you can, like, you have the revenue from the beginning to outsource and hire your team from the start, right? You're not dealing with a short-term rental that grosses $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. You're dealing with a commercial asset that has, you know, income in the hundreds of thousands a year. And like my current one will do like $2.5 million this year. And as we stabilize, go up to $4 million. So with that, we'll have a full property level team that'll, you know, afford the back end or the management company team, my director of operations, my operations manager, our revenue manager, all of our guest relations, we call them our e-concierge team, who are the ones actually answering the phone calls and picking, you know, answering the guest messages. And I think as a foundational piece, right, if you think about as working your way up in levels of how you outsource and start to build your team, at the base level, you really need to cover your admin first, right? Your guest messaging, your resolution processes, your requests for, you know, dealing with guest messages, all these things, all the guest demands, right? So we started with that e-concierge team. And these are people that we hire in the Philippines, anywhere from $4 to $6 or $7 per hour. And we train them on our system. So I built out everything of how we message our guests, how we process refunds, how we, you know, respond to alteration requests. Hey, we want to check in on Wednesday instead of Thursday now. So processes for all these things, and then train the e-concierge team on that now. And then at the second level, I would call that like your property level. Now you got up to a scale where you can afford a property manager, depending on the size of your hotel, potentially an assistant property manager. So then you have that layer of people in place that catches the guest issues before they elevate up to you. And it's just continuing to work up this pyramid of putting those people in place. And then kind of at the peak of the pyramid is when you start to put your management level positions in place, like your director of operations, revenue management, marketing, HR, you know, depending on the size of your organization. And you just work your way up and, you know, just think, like I think about this and talk about this with my team all the time, is delegate and elevate. Like, where are we constrained? Where's the bottleneck? What kind of, you know, process do we need to build or system do we need to put in place? Or who's the person that we need to hire to handle this part of the business that's slowing us all down? And we, you know, we get up to the next tier and then we're doing the same thing again. So it's just always, you know, building out a hotel business. It's a business like any other. You got to focus on your team, and it's all about the systems and the people. And you find those bottlenecks, solve them. And, you know, a few months later or the next week, you find a new bottleneck.
Yep. And so for boutique hotels, do you let people just do the self-check-in until you get an on-site manager? How would that work for you?
Yeah, we've done it two different ways, and it really depends on the size of the property. And it can be a unit count, but I really like to measure it more on the revenue, right? Because you could have a knockout 10 unit that each unit does 100,000 a year, you're grossing $1 million, and you can have a full staff with that, right?
Yeah.
But on our smaller properties, the smallest one I have is 8 units, and that doesn't take any on-site staff. What we have is a head housekeeper and cleaner who alerts us of any maintenance items, does the supply ordering, does the cleaning as well, keeps the amenity area and the laundry area that guests also use clean. And then they report that to my director of operations. So at the, the company level, the director of operations is the one kind of disseminating all this information. And if you're not that skilled yet, that's going to be you. Just realize that. But you have somebody that's kind of handling the day to day at the property. And then without, somebody there on site, just, elevated guest issues, concerns, disputes, whatever would come up to you. But that's fine. When you're starting out, you kind of got to go through the ringer to figure out what systems you need to put in place as you scale. And then under bigger properties, anywhere between 20 and 40 units, that $1 million of revenue mark, then that's when we're able to put in a property level staff, right? Full cleaning staff, potentially an in-house maintenance staff, if not contracted out. And then that's where we have like our property manager and assistant property manager who are like our W-2s managing those properties, right? I'm not talking about like third-party property management. So these are our employees that we train on our systems and they handle the day-to-day. And as you, rise up on the most recent hotel deal I did is 130 units. It has a wedding and event venue as well. So we have venue staff, a chef, general manager, assistant general manager, full cleaning staff, revenue manager, maintenance in-house. Like that property is very self-sustaining. So that is a much more all-encompassing business in one purchase. So it's like the bigger you go, the more revenue the property produces, the more self-sustaining and out of the operations you can be.
Sure, sure. And how do you go about finding top talent, especially in different markets, right? If you're not buying everything in one market, that you can potentially leverage some of that, especially in the beginning. How do you go about getting the top people to work there so that, you keep getting
that is a great question.
Reviews?
I think that's what every small business owner is trying to solve for right now.
Yeah.
But we do have great people on our team. We've been dealing with more turnover recently at the new hotel. It's in a little bit more rural market in Tennessee, outside of Knoxville or Maryville or like the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area. So it's a smaller town kind of in the middle of that triangle. So people have to drive 15 to 20 minutes to get there. So that we've seen more turnover and that's been hard. But what we do is depending on where we're operating at, a lot of the times we source our own employees. So a really good book on this is Who, the book on hiring. So we use that system with how
I
we.
I love that book.
Great book. Amazing. Yeah.
It's
I
the
wish
best.
I would have read it like a year earlier when I first started in hotels, but finally got it. I was like, oh man, this is what I needed.
And there are a couple of Who books, by the way. So do you remember who the author is? So people really know
Kirby Smart,
which
maybe
one it
something
is.
smart.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
We'll make sure to get that on the show notes because that one is a phenomenal hiring book. I agree.
Yeah. Like if you're building businesses, like I think that's one of like the top 10 books you have to read. But essentially it's kind of like looking at sourcing employees like marketing, right? You're trying to fill the top of your funnel with all the candidates, whittle down, screen them, right? Do your interviews. And even before that, we'll put screening interviews in or screening questions within the application. So when they submit their application, they're putting their resume, their work history, and then answering these questions so we can get a feel for them, how they think, how they work, so that we can set up, like we can kind of do that pre-screening to set up interviews with the people that we think are best based on those questions, match with their resume. And then we want to screen, 15, 20 candidates potentially, right? Depending on what we're hiring for. And then whittle that down to a second interview of like the 3 to 4 maybe that we had the best feeling on, that we had great interviews that really fit the job role based on their personality, their skills and experience. And then we're setting up, the final interview of like, hey, we want to select this person and going one step deeper and really assessing, their traits, how they work, their past, how they got through issues in the past is a really good indication of how they're going to do so in the future. So we have a really comprehensive way that we go about finding, screening, interviewing, and like double interviewing, and then finally hiring. And then it's all about the training. Like so many people, so many owners are just so desperate to get people in the door. And I've been there too, right? Like, hey, we just need somebody, right? We can't even clean our rooms. We need more housekeepers, whatever it might be.
Somebody
You're kind of dealing
today.
With that in Tennessee right now.
We'll take the first one.
Yeah. And like literally on my call today on our L10 meeting, I was like, we have to be a little bit more intentional with how we're hiring or the people that we're hiring. And then how we train and onboard them once they get in the door, because our turnover is too high, right? You got to first find good people and then be able to retain them once you actually make the hire. So that's how we do it ourselves. And then depending on the market, we also have staffing agencies that help with the top of the funnel and the screening as well, so we can get more quality applicants. So that's been something we've been experimenting with mixed results over the last year or so.
Yeah, it's all trying, right?
Yeah.
We will make mistakes, but if you don't, you're not out in the
You're
field
not learning,
playing.
yeah.
Yeah.
Every failure is really just a mistake, and you're either learning from it or, I guess, going out of business.
So what are some of the tools that you use to run your business right now?
Like some of the software tools and
Yeah.
systems. We use Asana for project management. I really like that one. Been using it for a while now. We can break it out by all our different, properties and locations, and then, the management company as a whole, and when we meet weekly, of just keeping everything that we're working on together. And then out of the book Traction, we run on EOS. So I
Yeah.
mentioned our L10 meeting. So every day we or every week we have our L10 meeting where we go over, the highlights, our scorecards and our metrics, our reviewing our KPIs to see how our business is actually performing, to know what levers we have to pull to increase, where we need to see improvement. So that's a huge part of it, just really tracking your metrics and the internal scorecard that we use. And then the to-dos kind of flows into Asana. And then we have our IDS section for identify, discuss, solve. And that's where we have our internal discussions. It really is where we work through those bottlenecks I talked about earlier. Like, what are we dealing with in the business right now that's a pain point? And how do we solve that issue? And we get all our leaders on the call to talk over those things. And then our PMS for our hotels is CloudBeds. We use PriceLabs for our revenue management. Then we have like our automated lock software so that we can have automatic check-in across our portfolio. That is a huge one. And we're implementing that at the new hotel in the next month as well. Because not everybody wants to come to a front desk. They want the experience and the amenities and the consistency of a hotel, but the convenience and, appeal of a short-term rental. So being out on the OTAs like Airbnb, you have to, compete with cabins and houses and, all these different things. So
Right.
automated check-in and just the automation and ease of the whole booking process is big in our company. And I think that's been kind of a key of how we're out able to outcompete the other hotels in the market specifically, and even a lot of the short-term rentals as well, because we just provide more and like know what the guests want. So we kind of build our systems around those factors.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. And, a lot of people talk about these systems, right? So my point is, it's not that hard, guys. You just gotta follow systems so that you're successful.
And the
And
biggest thing is like
yeah.
they're going to change. You just got to put something in place to start, right? And you'll work through it, learn what works. You'll get feedback from your own experience, from your team, and you make the adjustments as needed, right? So that's been a the constant learning thing. As your business grows, you break your systems and you got to rebuild them and put new pieces in place. So it's just part of it.
Exactly. And so, what are some of the top two or three biggest lessons learned as we come to a close in your real estate investing career that you'd like to share so our listeners don't make that mistake?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest one is your people are your biggest asset. Like, everybody's always chasing the deal or the strategy or the niche or whatever. But if you don't surround yourself with the right people, it's going to be really hard to execute and grow in that niche or grow in that asset class. Like, you need people as you scale. You can only do it on your own for so long. And you, as the business owner, have to get really good, or you have to build the skill of letting go of the control, because you really gain more control and more traction in your business by being aware of the pieces and what the people are working on, but you don't have to own the work. I mean, at the end of the day, you're ultimately responsible for it, but you hire competent people that are good at what they do. And I guarantee you will probably find that the people working in those positions are either better at that thing than you are.
Yeah.
Or at least like 70% is good, but you get 100% of your time back, and then you're able to
Exactly.
provide that value somewhere else. That's a big one. I think another point, kind of like a big lesson learned, is that like nobody is going to make it happen for you. You have to go out there and like you're the only one that is going to make your dreams come true. So if there's a pivot that you're feeling that you need to make, or an adjustment that you need to make in your business to take you to the next level, a new relationship that you need to make to get to that next level, go identify what that is and then work your way backwards to get there and just attack that thing. And then that's how you make the big like vertical jumps, right? And then you're working on hitting another bottleneck, and then you do the same thing. Like, that is business growth. You just have to attack each level because it doesn't just come to you. Like, you know, there's always like the overnight success stories, but they forget like the decade of work it took to be the overnight success. So
100%.
those are I think my biggest two.
No, that last one is also very good. A friend of mine recently told me that her mentor told her, dream big because you will never be bigger than your dream. So that makes complete sense. If our heads is not there, how do you expect to be bigger than what you're dreaming, or
You
get
kind of got
to
to live in the moment before you're there. You know,
that?
you got to see it and picture it all coming together to actually make it all happen, which is exciting. You know, it's like, I'm very much a visionary, so I like living kind of like in that future, in that visualization phase, because that's where I feel like the most creative, the most energetic. And then it's like, all right, how do we go attack it to get there?
Yeah, and it's hilarious. Just like The Secret says, you do start meeting the people to get you there because your mind is in that goal, right? So you start to pay more attention to who can help you get there. So
Right.
it's fascinating and it's a fun journey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Blake. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for having me on again. The best way would be Instagram. So I still like answer all my DMs. If you got a question about hotels or building your team or the systems to run hotels, how to find deals, whatever, would be happy to help. You can find me at Blake J Daily on Instagram. You can DM me there. And then an exciting thing that we have coming up is Boutique Hotel Con at the actual new hotel I just purchased. So you can go to boutiquehotelcon.com and learn more and sign up about the ticket release that's coming up. So it'll be
Oh,
September of this year.
that's exciting. Well, congrats. Yeah, good luck. It's
Thank you. It's my first like bigger
having
conference,
a
so
yeah.
I'm a little nervous, but excited for it. You know, it's like
Yeah.
putting it out there and good things will come.
It will. We did one last year and it's a lot of work, but it's very re rewarding when you're done.
I love it.
So
You said it with a smile on your
congratulations.
face, so that gives me hope.
Yeah. So we'll put all of these links under show notes. Thank you so much, Blake. It was really nice chatting with you today.
Thanks, Stephanie. You too.
And if you haven't already, make sure to sign up for our very straight to the point newsletter on top of the page at MonteCarloREI.com. And I will see you next time.